Hello, this is Robert Hahn Bishop, Director of the Foundation and Institute for Advancement of Humanity, and your host here on Transforming Reality, our internet talk show spotlighting individuals and organizations working to raise human consciousness and change the world we live in. Today, my guest is Terry Patton. Terry Patton is a leading voice in the emerging field of integral evolutionary leadership and spirituality. In his current work as a coach, consultant, and teacher, Terry articulates an authentic spirituality that illuminates the vital relationship between personal responsibility, discriminative intelligence, sincere caring for all beings, and profound spiritual awakening. He is co-author with Ken Wilber of the book entitled Integral Life Practice, a 21st Century Blueprint for Physical Health, Emotional Balance, Mental Clarity, and Spiritual Awakening. Terry's many writings, talks, and teachings inspire love, freedom, and transcendental awakening, calling each of us to accept and incarnate our full humanity. Terry, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Really good to be here with you.
So could you tell us a little about your life and how it led to the valuable work you're presently engaged in?
Well, I was raised in an unusual circumstance in something called the York Center Community Cooperative outside Chicago. It was founded by members of the Church of the Brethren, one of the peace churches, along with the Quakers and the Mennonites, and they invited people of other races and religions to live together with them as a witness for peace and brotherhood back in 1945. My parents moved there when I was 6 years old. So I was raised with these uncles and aunts who were real firebrand social activists. Some of them had been conscientious objectors during the Second World War. Some of them were leaders of the NAACP or the Civil Rights Movement, the Peace Movement. So I was kind of born and bred to be a revolutionary. But when I went off to college, it was pretty soon apparent to me, even though I was a very active campus radical leader, that myself and the other folks involved in this were not profoundly awakened, that we were egos and that we really needed to go through a revolution in our own being before we were going to be able to bring anything into the world that I really wanted to be a part of. And so that drew me to spiritual reading, and pretty soon I decided to find myself a really powerful spiritual teacher who I thought might be able to show me a whole different model for how to be a human being. I spent 15 years pretty much immersed in serious practice in an ashram, sometimes living a pretty monastic lifestyle. It was an unconventional circumstance, but it did grant me profound experiences of transcendent states of consciousness and pretty much reformatted the hard drive. That's probably the best way to put it. It really worked. And yet, in a way, radical realization, non-dual realization, when it finishes a certain stage, not that there's not much further, more profound potential awakening. I don't make any great claims about my own realization. It's not the point. But something changed that made everything different. And on the other end of it, I was plopped right back into my own human circumstance. And the need to be of service, the thing that motivated me before, transformed. And I really began to see that the world needed me to show up, not as somebody who was better than anybody else, but as an expression of that awakened consciousness that had come through in the process, partly of leaving my teacher, incidentally. That was a big part of what awakened me. I think some of the secret teachings were printed on the inside of the wrapper of that experience, but it oriented me in a whole different way. And so since then, I've been a student of something that I think is happening on a larger scale culturally, and I've been trying to serve that.
Okay, so there was this time when you were a radical, a young man, and were looking for ways to change the world. And then you realized you really needed to go through something yourself. And then through this transformation, you got to a place where you now felt you could really be of service. In this interesting time that's upon us, where there's this great paradigm shift that seems to be occurring in the history of humanity. Another spiritual teacher I know said, this is no time to be sitting in a cave. We could say all hands on deck. Yes. We all need to be out here and contributing, and this is what your calling is now. Could you tell us specifically about the approach that you've developed and that you're using today?
Well, you know, I think that there are a lot of different interpretive lenses that are being brought to bear on what's happening right now. A lot of people feel that there's this paradigm shift from X to Y or from A to B. You know, there's many different versions of it. And in my travels, I felt that the most adequate philosophical analyses of it that were broadly understood by groups of people were those surrounding the conversations of integral philosophy, like those of Ken Wilber, with whom I've become associated. He's a friend and mentor and collaborator now. Also, the conversations around evolutionary spirituality, evolutionary consciousness, awakening to the implications of an evolutionary view.
Could you tell us what you mean by integral spirituality or conscious evolution?
Integral is a word that means whole or complete. It usually is associated with words like integration, which kind of has to do with having all the parts rightly related to each other. But it also is associated with words like integrity, which have to do with wholeness. There are two wonderful one-liners about what integral means. On one hand, it means to transcend and include. It also means that every perspective is both true and partial, including this one. It's a way of going meta on the process of meaning-making and seeing that we're all involved in that together. Most of our human conversations are looking at certain slices of life, and a lot of our dialogues are non-intersecting. A lot of our arguments are people who are focused on one aspect of reality and arguing that that's the reality, and another person's looking at another aspect and saying, no, that's the reality. They're both right. They're just both partial. So integral spirituality is a spirituality that is both incredibly smart but also embodied. It's got to do with awakening to the non-dual freedom, but then it's plunging into contact with the human experience. It's profoundly tender, but it's also got a lot of toughness to it. It's able to be involved in self-transcending practice, and it's also able to just drop into the most tender human relationship to this incredibly heartbreaking and difficult affair of being a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it is at once, I think, if lived rightly, it is a context in which the shaman and the martial artist and the addiction counselor who's doing 12-step and the Zen priest and the Christian mystic and the social activist and the staffer for the Obama campaign can all find themselves in a single sangha. A sangha that's actually defined terms that make room for those diverse, apparently different expressions of what is a universal matter. We're all waking up, showing up, cleaning up, and being of service to something greater than ourselves. And the tendency for us to always squabble about the terms of what's most important and me first and look at me is the real issue right now. Because the conservatives, the retrogressive forces in the culture, are making meaning in very simplistic ways. So they can all get on message and stay on message. Those of us with more subtle and nuanced consciousness see all kinds of details. And so we're basically not in agreement with one another. And that's why we've seen a lurch to a kind of reactionary phase of cultural evolution in certain respects recently.
So there's discrimination brought to the process of spirituality, but there's also an embracing. There's an embracing of the different perspectives and points of views in a way that fundamentally works very well for a wide spectrum of people.
It does. It's both critical and affirmative of every form of participation. Mm-hmm. And I think that it offers an opportunity for everyone to rise up beyond what we're tending to be into something that kind of calls you forward to your highest best. But it really does give you a chance to make your unique contribution.
When you talk about this, I think often of what I consider to be one of the most destructive forces in the world today, and that is fundamentalism in any form, whether it's religious fundamentalism or political fundamentalism or social fundamentalism. You know, the only way is this way, and how that creates conflict and separation in our species, humanity at large. And so your approach is one of embracing, where many can come to the same place and find a way to work together. Could you speak a little more about how this contributes to raising of human consciousness in individuals and collectively?
My work at this point, I'm basically known for the most part as the co-author of this book with Ken and my own course on integral spiritual practice. I'm a teacher of integral spiritual practice, and really what that is a way of understanding the universal principles of what spiritual practice is. Once you get to the place where you realize that life is a school and you want to learn the lessons and you're paying attention, you're being drawn to more awareness, more care, more presence, more engagement, more aliveness, more joy, more service, you know, you're an integral spiritual practitioner. You may not use those words, but you're trying to attend the school of life. Now, there are some orienting generalizations that Ken has offered, and one of them is a post-metaphysical view. That is, people have all their theories about the ontological assertions about the nature of reality and the nature of the soul and the nature of the meaning of life and this and that. And he says, don't worry about that. Let's take a post-metaphysical approach. Let's just look at what does what. So there are body practices, mind practices, spiritual practices, shadow practices. There's practices in intimacy. There's social practices. And there's a cross-training effect that takes place. If you practice in all of those ways at once, you grow much more powerfully than if you only practice. If the guy who just meditates is going to mature in his meditation more slowly than the guy who also takes up weightlifting, even though weightlifting has nothing to do with meditation.
You mentioned the term working on your shadow. Could you clarify what that means?
Well, the nature of the human psyche is that when something threatens our sense of well-being, particularly when we're just developing, we bury it. We just hide it from ourselves. Mm-hmm. This is the fundamental insight of Freud. It's really kind of in fashion to bash Freud, but pretty much the whole insight that we bury things in the subconscious where they operate, often in a way that subverts our conscious intentions. That's his insight, the basic idea of repression in the unconscious. And so working with those dynamics and helping us become more conscious or just shift in relation to those dynamics is an important dimension of spiritual practice. And although there were dimensions of traditional practices that worked with dark energies, they didn't understand this mechanism of repression and the unconscious in the same way that we have since the time of Freud. And therefore, it's an aspect of an integral spiritual practice that distinguishes it from traditional forms of practice, which are really pre-modern in their origins, and they relate to a time when the human psyche was dealing with a simpler circumstance of life in agrarian societies, and therefore aspects of the interior life that we're living in our postmodern world just weren't operating in the same way. So our shadow work is a big piece of what it is for us to get out of the way of our own fullness and freedom.
So this working with the shadow side is an embracing of those parts of ourselves that we were either unconscious about or we have suppressed, so that they can be brought to light and healed and acknowledged as part of what's necessary to evolve spiritually.
And the energy that's held captive by shadow can be liberated, and we can become a more coherent force. Mm-hmm. It also makes us much more capable of cooperating with one another, because somebody who's not doing their shadow work is pretty much impossible to really get deeply cooperative with. We've got to become a force together. We've got to befriend our own disowned parts enough and forgive and develop a compassionate relationship to this heartbreaking affair of being a mortal human being, such that we can be friends to ourselves and one another and cooperate at a different level. We're on the verge of a kind of intersubjective awakening. You know, it's hard to know. The birth pangs of something new culturally in consciousness can take a long time. We don't know, but we may be on the verge of some very, very exciting breakthroughs, and I'm interested in pioneering those. It's a big focus of my work, helping individuals find their way to practice, helping those individuals become a culture of practice, what I sometimes call a metta sangha. It's a term I coined to indicate the larger sangha that includes people who don't necessarily do the exact same practice and may not even know each other, but there are certain shared values, and in some sense, that larger sangha is the thing that can become a powerful social force. The current type of dialogue that we have about the serious matters of human economic and political affairs is all focused on exteriors, and it's incredibly ego-driven. conversations that we have that really focus in a deeper way on our interiors tend not to become powerful. We can speak truth to power at the best, but we can't really hold power. So those of us who've been devoting ourselves to our kind of interior development are usually not big, powerful tycoons and the masters of the universe. Part of our inner work is to become capable of being more powerful and evolving our culture. If you are to be a force for good, you have to be powerful. And our awareness of how much those who have sought and wielded wealth and power have used it in destructive and egoic ways have left us with an ambivalent relationship to power. That's a characteristic of postmodern consciousness.
You mean a sense of feeling that it's evil?
Yeah, essentially. So we're not interested in empowering ourselves fully. We don't want to be evil, and so we stay kind of weak. Whereas we're on the verge of another transition. Just like the 60s were a transition into postmodern consciousness more broadly, there's going to be another transition into a different consciousness. It's not the consciousness of the 60s. There's many beautiful things about it. But what we're about now is a transition that transcends and includes all the virtues of the 60s, civil rights, gay rights, women's rights, all the really important things that were part of postmodern consciousness, but it also embraces the virtues of modernist and traditionalist consciousness in something that's powerful in a whole new way. And I think we're the harbingers of something right now, preparing the ground, building an integral and evolutionary worldview that is really transformational. I mean, evolution has become self-aware through us in the last 20 years or so in a way that had never before been possible, at a time when all of the highest wisdom traditions of the human species have come into conversation with one another, at a time when we've reached the hard limits of the carrying capacity of the planet to withstand the kind of behavior that we've always known.
And this phenomenon of the internet, which connects us in a way that's absolutely remarkable on a technological level.
Exactly. This very conversation is an expression of that.
Some of this talk about power reminds me of the shaman traditions. And they say that unless you're connected to the spiritual world, you have no real power. The power that you have is an illusion. Yes, it may have tangible effects, like someone with a lot of money or political influence, but in terms of the kind of personal power that you're talking about, the power to actually draw people into growing, that power is non-existent with those kind of leaders.
There's a synergistic conversation going on between many different traditions of wisdom that is producing something new that transcends and includes those different traditions in something that really is greater than the sum of the parts. And I think we're all building toward that emergent. My work is to help translate that and help people find their own way in tangible ways through a daily spiritual practice, through actual activism. I'm currently working on a book called The Integral Revolution. There's a fulfillment of life in the transcendence of a conventional life through which we can be happy. Just like a monk is happier by renouncing the world, he gets to the core of something. The revolutionary who sacrifices his life for the cause can find a different level of meaning and purpose that's transcendent. There's a kind of spiritual awakening and revolutionary activation that drop into something that looks just like an ordinary life, that we live with one another in a different way, in which we together become more and more the prototyping of a new way of being human, a new we. My interview series is called Beyond Awakening. It's a turning of the Dharma wheel. In our time, we're facing questions about how to be human and how to address so many apparently intractable problems that bear on us personally, but certainly collectively, with tremendous force and very daunting. The challenge of those questions is to stay in the question, like koan. The mind can't figure out the answer. It's not about an answer. It's about being in the questions with the dignity, with the kind of humility, with the ferocity, the presence that is living those questions so profoundly that we call from being answers that have never existed before. They've never existed before, and they're coming into being because we are a stand, a demand. Damn it, we need better answers to these questions now, and I am a force for that. The more that we are together alive in that, not in an angry way, but there's a ferocity to it. Mm. It can be humorous, it can be light, but it's on another level
serious. There's a power to it.
That's right, there's a power to it. Mm. And I think that's the character of this integral revolution and of truly integral spiritual practice, too.
Well, thank you, Terry. That was really informative and very intriguing to hear your perspective on this. Could you tell us about any educational programs and services that you're presently offering?
I do an interview series called Beyond Awakening that I mentioned. And so I've had conversations, now over 60 in-depth conversations with spiritual teachers, thought leaders, and I've asked each of those people the same question. How can higher consciousness help the human species rise to meet the challenges of our time? Amazing series of conversations. And those are all available for free download. Another thing that I have done is I've founded a local organization called Bay Area Integral that has speaking events here in the Bay Area. I also teach an online course on integral spiritual practice. People who are interested in actually engaging with us can take this course and really take on a regular integral spiritual practice. Periodically, I teach in-person seminars here and around the country, around the world. I also do some longer-term teaching, doing some things with a teacher from Austria named Thomas Hubel. I'm also working on a book called The Integral Revolution, and I have a website associated with that. There are some other initiatives I'm involved with that I think are slipping my mind right now. There's a lot going on, but it's all visible from my personal website, which is just my name, .com, Terry Patton, TerryPatten.com.
And if someone wanted to contact you personally, how would they do that?
Just go to that website and there's a contact option. You could also write my assistant, Rebecca, at TerryPatton.com.
All right, well, that was really informative. Thanks again, Terry. I really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you. Terrific being with you, Han.
And to our listeners, we at Transforming Reality Radio would like you to be on our mailing list, so please send us an email request to atrradio@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to being with you all next time.